I know that in the beginning as a young Christian, and in many, many years actually into my Christian life, I thought that I had a need for love. I realized that I wasn't loving people the way Jesus did. I had a need for more power. I needed to see. I wasn't seeing miracles like I thought I should be seeing. I had a need for wisdom. I had a need for all these things, and I would be praying all the time. God, I need power, God. I need your love, God. I need your wisdom, God. And I had to be defused of that thinking that God is like a Christmas list. We make up our list of all the things we want from God and pray that he'll give them to us. How many people pray for patience all the time? God, you got to give me patience. God, you got to give me patience. Okay. In all these different attributes that we want to have, and we pray for that. Is that what God wants? Is that God's plan? No. What is his plan? His plan is Jesus Christ. That in Jesus, everything comes in one package. Everything we're ever going to need all comes in the person of Jesus Christ. So when he started to remove that baggage from me of trying to get from God all these different things and praying for it, started out with going to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God. I'm in the Amplified, Harvey. Does not and never did know him. For God is love. And he stopped me on the word is. He said, does that say God has love to give to you? Or God himself, the person of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are love. The person of Jesus is love. And he stopped me. He just stopped me right in my tracks and said, read it again. Read it again. You're constantly looking to get these things from God. Like they're different things that out of the storehouse of heaven. You could just pull all these different things and pray for them. Don't you understand? I am. Jesus said, I am. I am what? Everything. Everything. So I started on this path of I need to improve myself. I need to rededicate myself. That's not Bible. God does not ask us to improve ourselves. That's not what he's after. He's not on a rebuilding program to build our self-esteem, to build us up where we're big on ourselves and we're strong on ourselves and we're wise in ourselves. That's not the program. The program is everything is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is to be our wisdom. Jesus is to be our strength. Jesus is to be our life. He's to be everything. And to bring our thinking, to bring our mentality over to that place. Do you know that self-improvement is two things? It's sin and it's impossible. Self-improvement, me improving myself. You know, if you go in a bookstore, there's sections after sections of self-improvement, self-helps, books you can get, manuals on how to improve yourself. It's all world. It's all carnal. It's nothing to do with God. God has one answer for everything. It's Jesus. He does not ask us to improve ourselves. You know that? Love is a person. And it came to the place to realize that love is person, Jesus Christ, and love is not me. It's not me. It's him. He is love, and he's living in me. You say, this statement, how many times does this statement come out of your mouth? You just say, you do something, or you say something that wasn't that good, wasn't that nice, and you say, how could I do that? How could I say that? I'm not the only one, right? Okay, you know that's meant to have us ask the question: is God asking us to do something? What is it God asking us to do? Is he asking us to do something, or is he asking us to believe something? Religion says God's asking us to do, and the list will never, never end. Reli- religion says God is asking us to be holy. Go ahead and try to be holy. Have you ever tried to be holy? What happens? You get full of holes. We cannot make ourselves holy. We cannot act holy. I mean, that's so phony. And you know on the inside it's phony. You know it's not real. And you just, it's hypocritical. And you feel like a hypocrite. You feel like this isn't real. Am I the only one?
No.
Yeah. So what's the deal? The deal is it's flesh versus spirit. Okay, we got a boxing match. It's flesh versus spirit. Now, if you really understand the spirit and you really understand the flesh, who's going to win? When you understand the spirit, when you understand that you're a spirit person, when you understand that your spirit, the real you on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit have become one, when you really understand that you've been born in heaven and now you're a new creation, when you really understand that, okay, then you realize that the flesh is not going to be able to win the battle. It's like, here I am, I'm sitting in a jet, and I'm flying over to Africa, right? And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, look at me. I'm flying! Look at me, I'm flying! Okay, well, what happens if I go out the door? I will find out very quickly that it's not me flying. That I'm in this compartmentalized tube that is doing the flying. It's doing the flying, and I'm just going along for the ride. In the spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that does the flying. It's the Holy Spirit that does the moving. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the power. It's the Holy Spirit that is love. It's the Holy Spirit that is wisdom, the Spirit of Jesus. It's Him, and it's in while we are in Him. Okay, we have a choice. God put us in Jesus Christ. But we can make a choice every day to step out of that place into the flesh. And what happens? We get out of the plane. And we find out very quickly that we can't do it. Or are you different than me? Does it take you a long time to find out? I usually find out pretty quick. So I had this need I felt to have power. For lots of reasons, right? You know, you're praying for people and you're not seeing anything happen. God, I need your power. I need your power. I got to see something. I got to see them get well. And to continue on with me, he takes me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those who are called, are you called?
Yeah.
Whether Jew or Greek, Gentile, Christ is the power of God. He personally is the power of God. Not he gives us power. He is the power.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is the power.
Amen.
Where is he?
In us.
Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the power. It's not us. There's no way we could ever get heady over this. There's no way we could ever get prideful or boastful about, look what I did. Oh, I got this person healed. Oh, look what I did. There's no way I got this person free of demon. There's no way we can ever get there. It's not us. I like that. It takes the pressure off. Because now I've got someone far greater than me that's joined up with me so he could be the power side.
Amen.
And I can be there for the enjoyment of watching him do it. Hallelujah. So, and then, I don't know how is it with you, but, you know, when I was saved, I thought, and everybody around me thought, hey, now I've got eternal life. Now I have got this thing called eternal life. Right? Am I the only one? Yeah, I've got eternal life now. If I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah, yep. Right? At salvation, that's what I got. And Jesus, what did he say? He didn't say, hey, I have eternal life to give you. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am. Jesus is eternal life. And we have eternal life because of him in us. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. I'm building here. I hope you get it, because where we're going to go, where we're going to go is, I'm going to show you very simply, every one of you can be filled with the Spirit. That's going to happen right now in this place. Yeah, okay, little Tony. That should be fun. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the testimony, that it's the evidence that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who possesses the Son has that life. He who possesses the Son of God has the life, has eternal life. Okay? He who does not possess the Son of God does not have that life. Whoa. Wow. So the question for me came, where do I fit into all this? Where do I fit into this? And the question for you should be the same. Where do I fit into all this? Look at Colossians chapter 3. If it's all Jesus, where do I fit in this? Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There is no room for, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised. For no difference between nations, whether alien, barbarians, or Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave or free man. But Christ is all and in all. But Christ is all. God the Father's plan was that everything would be summed up in Jesus Christ, that everything he was ever going to do would be all found in Christ. But Christ is all and in all. Not Christ has all these things to distribute. No, it's all in him. At the end of the age, when this world comes to completion, everything will be seen. It will be seen. Jesus will be standing before everyone, and it will be seen that God the Father's purpose was everything would be summed up in Jesus. That everything would point, everything that ever happened would point to Jesus as the source of life, as the source of salvation, as the source of everything good. It would all point to him. The only reason for all of creation is what? What's the reason for all of creation? To contain the Creator. God the Father's purpose for creating everything from plants, trees, to us, was to bring forth his glory. Aren't you glad? Yes. You're an object for God to bring forth his glory. That was his plan, and it's still his plan. He hasn't changed plans. God didn't say, oh, that's not going to work. I'm going to have to change gears. No. So the basic function of everything that's ever created is not to do, but to receive. It comes springtime. What do you see? You see plants that are look like they're dead, they're not living, and then what happens? God brings the rain, he brings the right temperature, he brings the right situation, and the plant just receives it. And in receiving what God is bringing, see, everything comes from God. In receiving what God is bringing, the plant now begins to thrive and blossom. Just quietly receiving what they need coming from God so that they can use it to blossom and bring glory to Jesus. Same for us. Our position is not to do. Our position is to receive. Right? So we utilize what God gives us. Plants, trees, all of creation utilize what God gives us. But that's utilizing it, bearing fruit, is secondary to receiving. Receiving is the primary function, to receive from Him. That's the primary function that we all have, is to receive, just to receive. And then the doing just flows out of it. He flows out of it. It just, the doing just happens. Religion wants to take us, forget about the receiving, okay? Just start doing. You'll hear all the time, you need to get out there. You need to do. You need to start witnessing. You need to start going to people. You need to start doing all these things, right? Am I the only one hearing that? That's not God's plan. His plan is that we do that, but it's Him in us, working together with us, that does it. And we receive first, and it's out of the receiving. We receive the input from the Spirit of Jesus, and out of that input, now we just simply bear fruit. Are you understanding this? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Yeah. Ephesians 4, verse 10. He who descended is the very same as he who also has ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things. That Jesus might fill all things, the whole universe from the lowest to the highest, that he might fill all things. He made us vessels. Okay, he made us way more than that, but I'm just going to focus on this part of what he made us right now, okay? You say, well, we're just going to focus on the vessel part this morning, okay? Because it's going to be able to get across where he wants us to go. But he made us vessels. And it's his responsibility to fill the vessels he made. Did you hear me? It's not our responsibility to fill the vessel. It's his responsibility. He made the vessel to be filled. Why? So that he would be glorified. So he would be glorified. That he might fill all things. Are you part of that? So he would fill you. He wants to fill you. How many of you are like me? For years, you'd cry, God, I want you to fill me, Holy Spirit. Come on, you got to fill me, Holy Spirit. I need to be filled, Holy Spirit. Fill me, fill me, fill me. Yeah. Many times, you know. Again and again and again. But it's his responsibility. He wants to fill us. Look at Ephesians over one page. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. That word filled, the tense of that word is continuously, repeatedly, not one time for all. We are not filled with the Spirit one time forever. We are repeatedly, he's living within us, but he wants to repeatedly, again and again and again. And every time there's a conflict with flesh. You know what I'm saying? He wants to fill. Okay, now if you want to be filled and he wants to fill you, what's the problem? What's up? The hindrance is our flesh. Now I'm going to show you the simple ways. It's so simple that he showed me how he's already provided for the overcoming of our flesh. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look at Galatians 5. We're going to read 16 through 18. You all do have issues with your flesh, right? You get torqued off at somebody or something. You get upset. You get worried. You get anxious. You get stressful. You fret. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's all flesh. Okay, so, you know, we all have those issues. How would you like to be able to come to the place where Holy Spirit just went straight at each one of those things when they started to rise up, and you just slid right over into the Holy Ghost and watched him take care of it? That's his plan. He wants that. Okay, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. He's saying, okay, it's possible for you to not gratify your fleshly desires. Wow. Wow. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. What do you desire to do? To love, to bless, right? To help people, to be a witness to Jesus, right? We all desire that. But sometimes our flesh gets in the way and prevents us from allowing that to happen. But if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. What does that mean? Not subject to, now what do I need to do? Because when we're hit with something, some kind of issue, we start to think in the natural sense, what do I need to do to fix this? What do I need to do to correct this situation, right? I mean, that's the first thing we do. And he says, you're not subject to the law. There's a new law for you. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's the law, okay? You don't need to figure this out. You don't need to set a plan in place to deal with this. You don't need to do that. That's putting yourself under the law. But that's what we do. That's how I was raised. That's how I was trained. How about you? When you were a kid, you were taught, hey, you got an issue? Hey, you know, some kid punches you, punch him back. You got something going on that's wrong? Fix it. Fix it. You need to get help, you get help. You fix it. You do it. You do it. You go to work, you work hard. You work hard every day. You need help, you get help. But you do it. 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 I kept hearing, you do it. You do it. You do it. Am I the only one? Thank God. Look at this, Galatians 5, verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, do you belong to him? Yes. Bought and paid for, right? He spilled the blood, okay, so that he could own you. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Oh, 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 oh. For years and years and years, I read that, and I thought it was my part to crucify the flesh. I thought it was my part to put the flesh down. I thought it was my part to deal with the things that were rising up. I thought it was my part that I had to do that. Okay? So if I got an addiction, I got something going on with me that's not right, I thought, I got to work this out. You know, if I got to get in a program or I got to get somebody to counsel me, I got to work this out somehow. Okay? That's what I thought it was saying. It's not. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have already crucified the flesh. Your flesh is the remains of your old nature in your head, in your soul, the part of you that wasn't saved when you were born again. It's just the memory of. It's the thought light of. What happened to you? You became a new creation, a spirit woman, spirit man, brand new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new now. Right? Okay, so the flesh has already been crucified, and your spirit man is free. Free to, together with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, live your life. Together. Free, free, free. Now, the same way we get saved initially, how do we do that? You hear about the grace of God, you hear about what Jesus has done for you through his grace. And you place faith in that. Right? Everything in our life is that way. The same thing with the Jesus, when Jesus was crucified, when Jesus was buried, when Jesus rose, when Jesus was resurrected, when Jesus was ascended to heaven, all of that, because he's the I Am, is present reality for you. It's not a past event. It's present reality. For the I Am, he's right now. Everything that he did in the past is right now, present tense for you. Everything that he did. That means that right now I'm struggling with the flesh. Right now, today, the fact that he took my old man and he died with my old man dying and was crucified. That old man was crucified. The fact that that happened 2,000 years ago now is present tense reality for me. That man's not alive. And I'm not going to agree with him. Amen. So when those thoughts begin to come, those feelings begin to come about, you know, doing something that's fleshly, okay, then our part's not to say, okay, I got to get that out of my life. I got to go get counseling. I got to go get help. I got to get myself enrolled in some program. That's not our part. That's doing. That's putting yourself under the law. Our part is to realize who we are now and what he's done. And that right now, today, this very second, I have the power of the Spirit of God available, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Available to me right now. And I can experience his resurrection life. I can experience his victory over every sin. I can experience the fact that my old man, who was a sinner nature man, has been crucified with Christ. And now all I got is the remains of some of his stinking thinking in my head. That's all I got. I can realize today that that's not who I am. Those feelings that I'm feeling, those drives that I'm feeling about doing something that's not going to be good to myself or anybody else. Okay, that's not who I am. I'm a new man. I'm a spirit man. I've become one with God, and I'm powerful in him. And together we can conquer everything because he's already done it. Everything in the past he did is right now, present right now for me. It's available right now for me. The very second you feel that thing pushing in on you, the Spirit of God wants you to know that right now I've got complete victory for you. Yes. Self-help is worthless. It's Jesus Christ's help. And he does that as we lean on him to be whatever we need for us. He doesn't come and deposit something here. You need a little of this, you need a little of this. No, he lives that out for us in our place. Together with our spirit, he does it for us, together with us. I've been crucified with Christ. That means the guy who used to be had been crucified with Christ, and he no longer lives. But this life that I now live, I still live. You all realize you still live, right? This life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Whoa. 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 You are.
You are.
You are a spirit woman born in heaven. You and the Spirit of Jesus Christ have become one. All that he is, you are. Whatever you can say about Jesus, you can say about your spirit. That's who you really are. Okay, now so we need to stand on who he made us to be, not on what things we're feeling, not on the things we're struggling with, because that's who we used to be. And right now, the power of God, the same that rose Jesus from the dead, is available to you right now. Right now. It's not something we got to get God to come and do. He's in us with the same, all the power that raised Jesus. He's in us to do that right now. And we can look at that thing that's tempting us. Look at that thing that is coming to convince us to follow this fleshly way and say, that's not who I am. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, you know, like I said the other week, I remember we were talking about temptation. And I said, you know, what I'm learning to do is when the temptation comes and it's not good, I just say, Jesus, get the door. Jesus, answer that. I'm not even going to respond to it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So our part is to believe what he's done for us and receive. Believe what he's done and receive. You want to be filled? Repeatedly, again and again and again. How many times a day do we need to be filled? I don't think I can count them. There's so many events that come up, you know, and I can sense the flesh starting to rise up inside of me. You can tell that, right? You know, when that Italians say that when the agita starts turning, you know, you can feel that grinding on the inside, you know. Okay, when that thing starts, okay, it's the flesh starting to rise up. Right then, Holy Spirit, thank you. Speak to you, flesh. You're not who I am anymore. I'm a man of God. I'm a son of God. Jesus and I have become one. And this, I have no part in this. Thank you for filling me, Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, it has zero hold over you anymore. It ends that fast, just like that. Because that's how powerful God is. That's how powerful God is. Wow. Wow. But what I did for many years was I tried to stop doing the fleshly thing. I made plans. I got help. I got assistance. I called people to pray for me to stop doing the fleshly thing. And you know what I found? It got worse. And I stopped asking anybody else because I thought they would think that I'm just, you know, a heathen. Because it's not working for me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, we get saved. We hear the truth about what Jesus has done. And that truth comes to us by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes with the revelation, it comes with his own faith for us to believe. We have to do nothing except believe and receive. That's it. What's the requirement for somebody to be saved? No, we would not hesitate to tell someone, okay, there's nothing you need to do to receive salvation, right? You just believe. Right? Isn't that what we tell people? But that changes when it comes to ourselves and we start living. Now we think we got to do all these things. But we don't. But we don't. And I know, you know, I was raised and trained to be the kind of a kid that was a doer. You know, I'm a doer. I don't sit around. I don't monkey around. I work hard. I'm a doer. And then I discovered Jesus. Holy Spirit came to me one day and revealed Jesus to me. And I said, yes. I receive. And he came into me, and for the first time in my life, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Whoa, something happened. I couldn't explain it. There's no way I could wrap my head around it. I could not explain that for nothing. I just said, something happened. Something happened to me. I'm different. Something happened to me. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't figure it out because it all happened in the spirit realm. It's all spiritual. And now, our life is supposed to be the same way. When we find out the truth about the crucifixion, what happened then, we find out of what died, who died. You were there. You were in Jesus. Jesus took you in with him. Okay, everything he went through, he took you in. He took you in him. Every experience he had, you were in there with him. And he made all those experiences he had to be your experiences. You know, and we tend to, in Thessalonians, I was reading, and it says that Paul's saying some of the believers were off base because they are saying that the resurrection was a thing of the past. They're not saying the resurrection never occurred. They're saying it's not relevant for me now. It's something that happened back when Jesus did it. He said they're off base because everything Jesus did, he put us into himself. So now all that becomes our experience because he's a now God. It's all available to us every day. Wow. So what's our part? You believe that. You believe that and you receive it. That's what you receive. You don't receive the baloney that the world's throwing out or your body's telling you. You don't know. You receive it. Okay. Can you all just like sit there, kind of just close your eyes, relax, just relax. And with an act of your will, okay, with an act of your will, make the decision to stop believing in yourself. To stop believing that you can make anything happen. Make the decision. I choose to stop believing that I can make things happen. I choose to stop believing in myself, in my flesh. I made that decision. Now, if you've seen the truth that you were crucified with Christ and your old person who does those fleshly things, did those fleshly things, has been crucified. And that, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, that you not those things are now crucified to you. They're over. They're finished in God's sight. It's finished. The flesh cannot come back on you. If you believe that, that the Spirit of God will stand in resistance and allow himself to rise up within you. Hallelujah. Can you just in your heart just say, I'm not a flesh man. I'm a spirit man. I was born in heaven. The man that was born on earth, the spirit man born on earth, he's dead. He crucified with Jesus. The person that I am now has become united with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I am now one with you, Holy Spirit. I am one with you, never to be separated. Anything that comes to me out of the flesh has no hold over me. You have victoriously set me free from that. Thank you for the revelation you're giving me, releasing to me, that I know, that I know, that I know. That the flesh is crucified. It's not something I have to do. I don't have to do it. You don't ask me to do it. You want to fill me? I want you to fill me. You desire to fill me repeatedly. I want you to fill me repeatedly. Thank you. Thank you for coming right now from within me and filling me. And filling me. One more scripture. You done already? Yep. John chapter 4. Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Look at what he says. He's talking to her, verse 14. John chapter 4, verse 14. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him, you know what he's talking about. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling, continually within him unto eternal life. The Spirit of God in you wants to be a continual bubbling, flowing fountain, stream flowing. How's he going to come out? He's going to go through your soul. Your soul is going to get to see. Your mind, will, and emotions are going to get to see the Spirit of the living God thinking through them, moving through them, accomplishing things through the parts of your body. They're going to get to see. Okay, it's time for us to be retrained. And it's the Spirit of God that retrains us. And our part is to recognize that Jesus is going to be glorified. The day is going to come that we're going to see everything that came into our life, God intended and purposed for Jesus to be seen, to be glorified, for all glory to go to him, for whatever event ever came into our life. I would just as soon right now make that decision that God, with an act of my will, I choose to yield to you. I choose to allow you to have your way, to bring glory to Jesus. Remember that song? I got a river of life flowing out of me. Like the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. You got a river of life flowing out of you. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. That river does it. The river over the Holy Ghost makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It's the river of the Holy Ghost. It's him. It's that he's the one that does it. He's the one who opens up prison doors. He opens prison doors. He's the one who sets captives free. You got the river. You got the river. You ready? Together. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Whoa. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 I'm expecting that you are going to have testimonies after testimonies after testimonies. Ooh, I had a crisis today. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I had a problem came into my life today. Ooh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I had a situation. I didn't know what to do. Ooh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody was in my face. They were spitting angry at me. Ooh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Ooh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. It's your inheritance. It is your inheritance. He paid the price so that you could live in that. Glory to God. Flesh, stupid flesh. It's been defeated. It's been crucified. That's what I believe. That's what I'm convinced of. And the Spirit of God sees my faith. He said, watch this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing that Jesus did for us will require us to do something to make it happen. It's just believe and receive. No matter what it is in life, he will never require of you to do these things to make that happen. Jesus did everything to make it already happen. And now we believe and receive and thank you, Holy Spirit. That's how we can give thanks to God in everything and for everything, because it's all an opportunity for us to see the Spirit of God release. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow is at what time?
7.